Fitzy and Whipper.
Nova.
If you're a tradie, you'd love to know how much you're earning. Get on the old jackhammer. You don't want to do too much time on the jackhammer, Leno, because it's not great for your reproductive system for men. You got to monitor that one. Watch it, lads.
Well,
bit of an insider tip from the building trade there from M. Whipley.
Unless your nickname is the jackhammer.
Very different.
Such an honour to have that title. God, the list has been revealed of the top 10 traders and what they earn.
Plumbers?
Not number one.
No way.
It's been a shock. Because you're right. If you go to a building site, the plumber's got the best car. They're the ones that make all the
electrician.
Money.
Electrician.
Coming in at number three, the old Sparky.
Oh, Sparky's my old man never earned a lot of money.
Wrong decade.
Average hourly cost for Mick Fitzgerald and Fitzy's Electrical is $75 an hour.
Not my old man, I can tell you.
What do you reckon he was charging?
You're right. So my dad was a pretty basic Sparky for years and years and years. And then he decided to go out on his own, Sarah.
Yeah.
And I built my first house. This was years ago. And I said to Dad, I want to do something different. I want those wires across the house, you know, in the lounge room with the lights coming down, the down lights coming down the wires. Dad just couldn't think outside the square. It's just too hard to do, mate. I can't do this. So he basically, I worked out afterwards that Fitzy's Electrical, all he could really do is maybe put a PowerPoint in your wall and put a ceiling fan up.
That'll do.
And that's all he could do. Anything past that, he wasn't going to climb
into
a roof.
What was the running joke? Haven't we called him a couple of times pretending that we need lights put in the pool?
Oh, he never cleaned. He thought Sparky's, he says that Sparky's don't have to clean up after themselves.
That's right.
Whereas every other tradie does.
Yep.
And you leave a clean sheet wherever you are. But Dad was like, nah, Sparkies don't have to. Don't so he used that. To leave a mess and let them vacuum after.
Great news, though. This is a good one because coming in at number four is probably what I put myself under. The handyman. Now, the handyman, the jack of all trades, it's gone up nearly 12% in wages from last year. A handyman is on $56 an hour.
Yeah.
That's a lot. If you're just wanting someone to come around and hang a painting or change a light bulb, which some people would want as
change
a handy...
Change a light bulb?
Yeah, some people need that. The elderly community says they need people to come around and they'll have a what's that service called?
Hire a hubby.
Or a hubby.
Is the grey service still going on? Remember the grey service?
What do they do?
They're the retired people.
Yeah.
Who you can get for a little bit cheaper, but they keep working.
Oh, that's nice.
So they're good. They're older people, so you can still get painters and stuff that, and they're the oldies. Mm. I mean, to paint one room, they take 6 months, but they're a bit cheaper.
They move in, like they'll sleep for most of the day, but they'll get an hour's done. Landscapers coming in at $51. The old plasterer, there's an art to that one, $48. Gardeners at $48. Painters are at $45.
See, painting, it's just a boring job.
I have so much admiration for those guys.
Do you know, it is like mowing a lawn, though, I reckon. Like, you don't want to do it, and then once you've done it, you look back at your work and you go, oh, that's quite rewarding.
Yeah, but at least you're outside. You know, you're getting fresh air.
Oh, no, and the burning heat, though, in summer when everyone wants their lawn done.
Leno, can you fire up a drum roll for me? I'm going to give you the top trade. Because they make $93 an hour. Removalists.
Get out of town.
And I tell you what, I reckon that would anger a few trades because you don't actually need...
Yeah, it's not a trade.
You don't need a training or a skill to be a removalist. You need a strong set of thighs and a strong back.
Tough job.
Oh, yeah.
Tough job.
Yeah, but no qualification, no training. It's just
a good back.
Do you know who you find that do a lot of removalist jobs? A local rugby league players or union players.
Good idea.
Yep.
Good idea.
Because it keeps them fit during the day and they're lifting during the day.
You always feel like you need to give them a few beers at the end of a job for removalists too. So they'd be getting $93 and a six-pack, I would have thought.
Well, I always do. I give them the beers
beforehand.
Yeah, I give them the beers beforehand.
He's dropped
them
a fish
and say, this is for the job. And then you lure them with a bottle of Jim Beam or a Johnny Walker.
I got held hostage.
And say, you'll get this at the end.
So they're not alcoholics.
Ours refused to move our furniture. Halfway through, they said, oh, you're going to have to pay us another $150 bucks, so we're not taking the beds over the balcony.
Gary put me onto those guys.
Don't ever use them. No. He seems to think they're great. They're shocking.
They were really fast. I couldn't believe they got all the gear out of the house in an hour. Everything had a dent in it.
Yeah. Shockers.
I literally thrown it in the back of the truck.
Shockers.
I'm looking for a bikey to come on the show. Or someone who rides in a bikey group or in a bike group. Because I want to hear from you. 1324 10's our number. I want to know how much your bike means to you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because I mean, Sarah, I mean, you talk about Winnie like being the fourth member of the family.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
For a bikie, I would say like their Harley Davidson, you would have to say would have to be
their baby.
How do you get emotional over a piece of machinery?
Sarah, please.
What, do you get razzed about your Mitsubishi every time you see it in the car park?
Three diamonds every time BJ runs into it. I get shattered.
Do you know, I've told you that story about my cousin who's a paramedic, and he turns up to accidents where bikies will have come off their bikes. He says they say two things. How's me bike, right?
And don't cut me colours.
Don't cut me leathers.
Yeah.
He said he'll be looking at them thinking, you're never going to walk again. Your legs are gone. And their first question is, how's me bike?
That's weird, isn't it?
Jeez, man. That's love.
If there is a bikie out there, I want to know how much your bike means to you. Because in Blaxland yesterday, this is up in the Blue Mountains, Sarah. So, you cannot get any worse luck than this. Police are probing what happened in the minutes leading up to a terrifying road rage attack where a group of passengers were surrounded and attacked after their car bumped into a motorbike belonging to a Finks member. So they knocked the bloke off the... He was in a BMW, so that I don't know... We don't know who's in the car.
Yeah, right.
Because they're trying to track down who was in the car. So whoever's in there has knocked the bikie, the Finks member, knocked the bike over. There was 13 other Finks members in the group. Next red light, they all got off their bikes, put the bikes in front of their BMW and started smashing up the BMW.
What if it was an accident?
Well, this
is
the thing.
You would suggest it was an accident, wouldn't you?
This is the thing.
You can't hurt someone for a road accident.
Well, I would dare say there would be some strong words in there like, you've hit my bike.
And I'm angry about the damage you've caused, you silly boffin.
Boffin.
Ryan from Penrith has given us a call. Good morning, Ryan.
How are you?
Are you an ex-bikey, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm an ex.
Okay,
But I still love me bike.
You still love your bike. Yeah. What kind of bike have you got, Ryan?
I've got the Harley V-Rod.
Right, okay.
How much does it mean, Ryan? Like, do you love it like a family member?
I love it more than a family member.
Oh, come on, Ryan.
All right.
My bike is everything. That's all I do.
Do you
I go to work to pay for it. Yeah. That's all I will care about.
Do you have kids, Ryan?
None.
Okay.
Ryan, well, how much does a Harley Davidson cost? Like, for a prize piece like you guys have, how much is one of those?
Well, my bike you can't buy anymore, but brand new, they were about $30,000.
Gee, it's expensive, isn't it?
Has anyone ran into it or scratched it before, Ryan?
No, not really. No one yet. But, like, I've blown it up myself, the motor.
Yeah, okay.
But at the time when I blew it, I had no money, but all of a sudden I pulled out 10 grand out of nowhere just to fix the motor.
Amazing, isn't it, Ryan? And for the record, I don't have an issue with any bike.
No.
Ryan, what if someone did, say, back into it in a car park or you're at Woolies and the next thing you know, your bike's on the ground? What would you do?
It comes down to the person if they're a gronk about it.
Yeah.
Handle it different, but if they're genuinely sorry and that, it is what it is. There's not much I can do. The insurance will fix it.
Ryan, it's pretty hard to have the label of an ex-bikie these days because it's not that hard just to walk out of a bikie group, is it?
I never chose to leave, but it wasn't a pretty thing.
Right.
So do
you still have your colours, Ryan, or are they gone?
No, they took the colours. I still have some memorabilia stuff, but they didn't know about it.
Are you a big boy, Ryan? How much do you weigh and how tall are you?
I used to be about 110 at 6 foot. Now I sit on about 90 at 6 foot.
Wow. And did you see this incident in Blaxland yesterday, Ryan?
Nah, I don't watch the media.
So the guy got tapped. He came off his bike. So they surrounded the BMW, 13 Finks members. And look, they didn't get in. So the guy didn't get hurt, but his car got smashed up a little bit.
Gave him a bit of love.
Is that what happens, Ryan?
No, that's just the gronks. That's more the younger guys.
Clearly living in a bunker, and the last time he came out, gronk was a word that was used in vocabulary.
You know what? Yeah. I don't think gronk's ever been used on the show.
The single wives. I tell you what, my wife is so pumped for this show tonight, 7:30 on Channel 7. He is the British dating coach that you'll see on this show quite a bit. They've already filmed it, and he's back out here promoting it. Matthew Hussey, thank you very much for coming in, mate.
I follow this show. I mean, you're dealing with people that are recently single, divorced, separated after long relationships. Is that right?
Yeah, people who, you know, represent real people.
Yep.
Have messy lives.
Yes.
You know, have come out of a marriage, are looking to get back out there. That was what I actually was intrigued about by this show. For once, I got offered to do a show that wasn't about a gross concept. It wasn't about silly people doing stupid things over the course of a series. It was actually about real people. And, you know, they... You know, my mum is my best friend, and I think of her. If she was out there single again and she was trying to find someone, what advice would I want her to have? I would be so aware of the creeps that she would be up against, of the types of situations she'd find herself in. And so, you know, in truth, I made this for my mum. For, you know, I had my mum in my mind when I thought of all the audience out there who really wants help. They're, you know, people are confused, and it's scary getting back into dating again when you've been out of it.
Do you think men have a problem with women who've been married before? I'm divorced, and it's something that you feel like there's a stigma, and men look at you as though there's something wrong with you if you've been divorced. So do you think there is a little bit, I don't want to say discrimination, do you think men think like that?
I think what we wear as baggage, people take as baggage.
Right.
And that's not to say some people aren't going to have a problem with everything, right? Yeah. If you have kids, there are going to be some people who don't want you. That's just the nature of things, whether you're a man or a woman. If you're of a certain age, there are going to be some people who don't want you. If you're of a certain faith, there are going to be some people who don't want you. Everything we do in life is going to cancel out some options. But if we wear something as baggage, it's baggage.
Right.
Like, I had a woman who came to my... I had two women on the same live event that I did in... I think it was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two single mums in the audience. One of them that day said to me, how do I bring up the fact that I have children?
Yeah.
As if she had, like, Darth Vader waiting at home.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, what do you mean? Yeah. It doesn't have
Celebrate
to be
it.
So heavy.
That's right.
And honest. Then this other woman was the complete opposite. She took all of the advice. She went out that night, and I watched her go over to a guy and say, you have the cutest chin dimple. Yeah. She said, it's almost as adorable as my daughter's cheek dimples, but yours is pretty cute. And they ended up talking for the night and exchanging numbers. And I thought, here is the difference. You've got one woman saying, how do I bring this up?
Yeah,
you've got another woman who said it in the first sentence.
Yeah.
And not only that, but actually used it to flirt with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's how we wear what we have, our situation, that makes the difference to how people perceive
it. But, you know, do women want to play the field? They get out of a long-term relationship. They want to have a good look around?
I mean, I think, look, as playing the field can always be a novelty if you haven't done it in a while. But that's only if you're having a good time doing it.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of people, it's not a good time. They suddenly find themselves in a world of dating apps and dating websites, flaky people, incessant texting that never actually turns into a real date. And people get tired. There's a lot of dating burnout today.
Yeah.
And I think half the battle, and one of the things I'm excited for this show to do, is to get people to actually enjoy the process again. Because I don't really, look, it's not going to be popular for me to say, but I don't care whether these women find love from this show.
Yeah.
That's not my aim.
Oh, so you don't pair everybody up with someone?
God, no.
Right.
No, that's the show I refuse.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not trying to make a show where here's 20 men,
yeah,
and over the course of this series,
yeah,
we're going to whittle them down to one guy.
Yeah, got you.
That's not the show I want to make, because guess what? The woman at home watching doesn't get 20 men that she gets to choose
from. You're the real life.
Exactly. I wanted this show to follow the process of what it took to get back out there again and rebuild your love life, and for people to be able to replicate that at home.
Mm. Well, Matthew, Whipper seems to think you are actually a love guru. Whipper seems to think he is the show.
I said, what are we
guru?
Getting Matt in for? You don't need it. You've got me in house every day, guys, if you need relationship tips.
I'm excited. Maybe I'll learn something.
Yeah, most likely.
Well, we thought we'd put you to a bit of a test.
Can I just throw something out there, Matt? I want you to let you know. I made sure that Tommy was introduced to his wife that he's now with, so that was me.
Well,
I set that one up.
No, you didn't, mate.
These are your credentials.
This is my CV. Sarah and Gary, they're together now.
You trust me on one of your mates.
Mutual friends. So they're still together. They've got a child. So, you know, my rap sheet's pretty good. Just a quick heads up.
This is an amazing success. Matthew
Hussey. What's your question?
Versus Michael Whipper Whipfley.
My gut is just wobbling around.
Who's the real dating expert?
It's got nothing to do with it. So, Sarah, how's this going to work?
Matthew looks so slick in this, like, in this
three-piece
and the three-piece suit. Thank you. Yeah. We've got audio of you talking about your wobbling gut. Yeah, right. I dare say we don't have
that. That was so good, by the way.
Thank
Whoever
you.
Made that is so
funny. No, it wasn't.
All right, dating scenario number one. Two people go on a first date. The guy messages the girl the morning after to say he had a great time. The girl doesn't reply for 3 days, and when she does, doesn't give an excuse for the delay. Is she still interested? Matthew, what do you reckon?
Who cares if she is or she isn't? If someone doesn't... doesn't acknowledge the fact that they haven't gotten back to you in 3 days, why would you want them anyway? That would be my... She can still be interested, but it either means she's a game player or she has no social acuity whatsoever. So that wouldn't be someone I would be interested in.
So do you have a time limit, Maddie? Like, if you go out on a date with someone, you really enjoyed their company, do you wait to... Do you do it that night? Do you wait the next morning? Or
I think text back immediately. I don't have a problem with that. Your tone is what matters. It's not timing. You know, do you sound desperate in your tone? If you don't, you can text someone immediately.
I was about to say that. Without question, this girl is keen, sir. That's a tactical play. We've seen this 100 times over. What? It is impossible to start any form of dating without a level of trickery or game playing. That's a fact.
Oh, wow.
I've spoken.
Okay, let Whipper go. He goes first on the next one, all right?
Okay. Two people have organised a lunch date on a Wednesday. One of them cancels an hour before with the text, "Sorry, swamped at work. I won't be able to make it. Let's reschedule for another time." Decode that text.
Not interested whatsoever.
There's nothing
in it at all.
Yeah, no, not interested. Yeah. Probably it's made cold. The plans when it was easy to make the plans.
Yes.
And now that the days are actually arrived, is either regretting it or has actually met someone else in the meantime.
In the meantime. Yeah. Already moved on.
She's brutal. Final one. All right, Whips, you go first on this.
Righto.
A guy takes a girl out for dinner for their first date, but then ends up bringing her to the pub where all of his mates are.
Yeah.
What does it
it's
mean?
It's not going well at all. If the date is going really well, you're not going to cloud it with a group of guys drinking beer at a bar.
Don't you want to introduce
her to
your
mates, Maddie? Not at that stage of the relationship.
He's a child. That's what it means.
Is it really?
Because you don't. Firstly, you don't just thrust that on someone. It's not. It's uncomfortable. You don't just surround it's not a chivalrous thing to do to put a woman in front of a room full of men at the end of your date. She didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
And it just means either you need your mate's approval, which means you're a child.
Look what I got.
Or it means that, you know, you have, again, no social acuity. I think that's, I would not be seeing that guy again. I hate to sound harsh. I mean, look, if he's prepped you beforehand, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is going to be a good show.
There it
show.
Is. Can't wait for the lessons. Show, Maddie. This is exciting.
It's tonight, 7:30 on Channel 7, The Single Wives. Matthew Hussey, thank you very much for coming in, mate.
Thanks for having
me. Enjoy your time here.
North Shore Mothers is a group, and they've been discussing how racy they get, Sarah, with their behaviour.
Yeah, this concerns me because this is where my parents live. This is where I grew up.
That's what excites
me. This is where I'm looking to move with Gary.
Do you know
there's a lot going on.
You know what's interesting too, Sarah? Mm. For you and your friends, right, North Shore, they describe what a typical North Shore mum is.
Oh, here we go.
Generally speaking, she's in her 30s or her 40s, heterosexual, married with her partner. They've been together for about 10 years. Is that kind of your group of friends?
Sort of.
Range Rover.
She's got at least one child, but more likely two, somewhere aged between a baby and 10 years old.
Yeah.
And really likes the North Shore, will never leave the North Shore.
Designer activewear?
You'd say so. Yeah. Plenty of activewear.
Hang on, how is
plenty
that different to anywhere else in Sydney?
Oh, North Shore is fancy,
it
mate.
It depends on the area, Sarah. I'm talking designer, because I didn't know this, but when we were over in London for the Royal Wedding, BJ said, can you get me a good pair of...
Stella McCartney leggings. I remember.
Right, and I didn't know. I thought, oh, yeah, sweet. $80. Ooh, no way. They get up, some of them get up to $500.
It's ridiculous.
Are you serious?
For something you know you're going to sweat in
it's
as
Lycra.
Well.
Ugh. Tommy, I mean, there's a big issue you were discussing off air about the North Shore at the moment. In Mossman, there's a huge problem going
yes,
on.
Yes, the Mossman Council have they've redone a roundabout and they've removed all the flowers.
Uproar.
So now people... People have gone to the roundabout and put bunches of flowers all over the roundabout.
Oh, like because the other
like
flowers had died?
Is there,
no, they
like
haven't
the front
died.
Gates of Buckingham Palace after Diana
well,
was killed?
Well, someone got a big bucket of flowers and they put on their... They put a sign on the roundabout saying, where have all the flowers gone?
Oh, that's right.
Good. So much
well, there was tribute. Also there was a joke done in a local area where, I think this was in the western suburbs, this wasn't on the North Shore, where some local flowers that the council had planted, some guy, he dug up the flowers and replaced them with another type of flower.
Oh, did he?
That you can end up smoking down the track, and they just waited to see how long before the council noticed. The council watered it for a month before they realised what they were.
Till it turned purple. And all the locals were gathering around. Very important too on the North Shore, I believe, said to wear sort of a blue and white striped nautical, almost French top as well. That's very
you're
popular.
You're just describing Lisa's wardrobe, and
no,
you guys live
no,
in the east.
I
it's
am
a
not.
Good try. It's just the guy in Gant. How are your hunter gumboots going,
give me
champ?
Give me a
long sleeve Ralph Lauren.
I told you, they are
not. Are you going to drop a credit for Range Rover in a minute?
They're not hunters, mate. We're off, Lorraine.
You are very North Shore, mate.
What are you talking
about?
Let's move on to what these naughty mums are doing. Because they've confessed in a Facebook group the scandalous behaviour that they get up to, Sarah's. Mm. They took a survey about special cuddles and it went on to say that outside of the house was their preferred place to meet with their man.
Well,
locations.
Whoa, that's groundbreaking.
Locations include car parks.
Oh, what's a local car park on North Shore that you could go and hang out at?
Can I just say?
I've been waiting for you.
Well, you're Mossman now, too. North Shore, and speaking of car parks and speaking of people out of home, just yesterday afternoon, I was arriving home to see Thomas Brian Ivy driving into a Mossman car park in designer activewear without his wife.
What were you doing, Tommy? Meeting someone for a quick rendezvous?
No, I was going to the gym.
You don't have to lie.
As a North Shore mum?
You were going to meet Jim.
Wow. What about this one says? Yeah. A girls' high school oval, one woman admitted. The in-laws' dining room table, a golf course. What's your local golf course? Who's nicking off to the 18th hole?
It's comfortable on the greens,
but you also used to have parties around those people's houses. People's houses would back onto golf courses. So,
God, one lady sat on the boardroom table at a law firm that I worked at.
That's not limited to the North Shore.
Another one said Ayers Rock. God, you've gone a long way.
Well, geez, that's
a bit disrespectful.
Seriously?
Really, yeah.
And it's Uluru now anyway.
How uncomfortable.
I know. Why would you even consider doing that?
Oh, look, the North Shore mums.
Goes on to say 50% are doing it once a week.
They're not working, are they? So they're probably bored during the day.
Yeah, I'm going to go down. I'm going to grab a
quick
coffee.
I think quite a few generalisations here.
Quick coffee and a cuddle in a car park.
Sex in car park.
Well, if they are the stay-at-home mums, that's the thing, Sarah, you know?
Yeah, these days no one really gets away with being a stay-at-home mum, do they?
Should we give your mother a call? Find out.
She and my dad are overseas on a romantic trip.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're in Paris.
Oh my God, you don't reckon that'd be on?
Yeah, no, they've both had gastro for 4 days, so I hope not. I hope not.
Didn't come up in the survey, says.
Well, we love these two. Love them so much. They're having their second child, which is great news, and also they dress the same as well. They're in double denim today. Sam and Phoebe Burgess.
Disclaimer, we got dressed in the dark this morning because Poppy was asleep.
So who walked out first? When did you realise that, hang on a minute, we're both doing a lot of denim?
We noticed it in the elevator on the way up in the mirror. Yeah. I went, oh, Sam, copied me again.
No, you look like Britney and Justin Timberlake. Is that who it was?
It was at the MTV.
Yeah, that was right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Come a bit closer to your microphone. How many times have you been on this show?
Far out, Sammy.
Just thought I'd let Phoebe say a few things first. You know?
Phoebe, you know what was amazing? You guys have been away. You've been in Queensland, which was lovely.
Yeah.
To see the big guy in Budgie Smugglers dancing when he doesn't realise the camera's on.
Yeah.
Like, what was he doing? Was it a booty pop? Was he twerking?
That's his holiday dance. So you've all seen
there's a holiday dance.
Yeah, there's a holiday dance. That one happened in Mykonos when he proposed.
Wow.
That one happened in
always in Speedos?
It's just always in the Smugglers.
I can never get away from it. I mean, I'm on holiday in a quiet, private place, but yet I get photos and videos of my backside. I get back to training and the boys are hammering me.
No, actually, Phoebe, can I ask you, because the last time we were in Hamilton Island, we got a phone call because we were there hosting Taylor Swift,
Sarah, for the
Red Room.
Yes.
And then you couldn't get us in.
No.
That's right.
We promised the world and delivered an atlas.
We get a phone call out of the blue and it's Sammy going, can you get us tickets to Taylor Swift? I said, mate, she's on tomorrow night. It's pretty early. And, mate, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's up in Hamilton Island. He said, well, we're on a boat with Rusty. On the Whit Sundays at the moment, we can pop in on the way. Did you actually come to the night?
We were a bit late. We came down late on the boat. We got a little small boat from our big boat into the harbour there, and we were about 15 minutes too late. And the security said everything's been shut down. Mm. I'm trying to ring you two, but your phones have been taken off you, sir.
He's pretty embarrassed, to be honest.
None of his
calls were getting through. And he's like, all right, darling, let's just go back.
Sorry about that.
I was trying to show off.
I was trying to show off to Phoebe,
and then we got brushed, and there were all the kids outside waiting to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And then we got hammered by the kids outside. So we quickly made a quick exit.
On the topic of kids, congratulations again.
Thank you.
This is so exciting.
Thank you for my introduction.
Yeah,
producing, oh, producing a baby.
Yeah. I'm going to put that on my resume.
Yeah, you've just been producing it at home.
Well, I think I did
producing
some,
an
I
air.
Did, I did part of the work in.
Oh. Yeah, you did help. That's
he did
right.
2 minutes work.
So. Is he a good father? Does he get up in the middle of the night, Phoebs? Is he good? Is he good like that? Does he
great.
Help with Poppy?
Do you know what? At 5 months, when Poppy was 5 months old, I had to get a back surgery, and Sam was up every night, and it was mid-season, and he's unbelievable. Yeah. I'd like to make a few jokes there, but he's a really, really good
dad. Oh, well, that's great.
Does Poppy know that there's another baby on the way?
I think she's got the idea of a baby, so we point at Mum's tummy because I popped pretty early, and she says baby and bubba, but then she crash tackles into it. So I don't know if she's got.
She slaps the belly.
Oh no!
I think.
Phoebe, what have you done to your pants? Can I ask what you? Because I don't know whether your pants are undone or.
Oh yeah, the hair tie.
They're done up.
Yeah, well, Sarah, you pick this up. You pick this up.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. Show us how you've got your pants done up.
No one can see, but I've got the fly undone, and then I've got my hair tie keeping the rest of it.
Oh, that's a hack.
What a good idea.
That's a pregnancy hack.
Yeah, well, I'm sick of buying maternity clothes at the start because you get so big by the end of it. So, and then you wear the flowy dresses. So I've just got all my jeans held together with hair ties.
Phoebe, can I ask you as well, what's life like when the Rabbitohs are losing, what's life like around the house? And when they're top of the table, what's life like around the house?
Do you know what? You'd think it would be more intense when they're losing, but when they're winning, it's actually a lot more intense. It's the, another week to go, and let's get to the finals, and it's that sort of mentality in the house. So everything's footy. There's constantly NRL in the background, and it sort of takes over everything, but it's good.
I bet. Do you know what's interesting?
I'd rather be there than losing.
I love the photos too when it's a big Burgess dinner. Yeah. And the four boys are there and Mum's there. I would think you would not get a word in around the table that night. Well, you wouldn't get any food either.
It goes quiet.
It goes quiet.
No, the men don't get a word in. The girls.
Really?
The girls all catch up. And
madness.
Yeah. And we're just eating food.
That's why.
I know how canteen ladies feel. I now stand over the pot stirring a huge batch
for all the Burgess boys.
Four packets of meat, three packets of spaghetti, 10 chilies.
Come on, Phoebe, this is your opportunity because we get Sam on regularly. This is time to tee off. I mean, what's the one television show that he's embarrassed that you watch together or something that you do that Sammy...
Oh, the most recent one has to be Love Island.
Oh, did he get into it? Was he into Love Island?
He was so into Love Island.
What do you like about it, mate?
He couldn't believe the outfits. He couldn't believe what they were saying.
It's pretty obvious.
He said, what is she wearing on national television?
Jesus, I mean, some of the outfits were terrible.
Turn it off.
Was Love Island a big talking point at the Rabbitohs when you'd come into training?
It was huge. Alex Johnson, Adam Reynolds, they were into it big time.
I bet.
We were even talking about Love Island. We had our own chat thread on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We got serious. Yeah.
Sam made me update him when he was out doing
was
appearances
America.
Or whatever he was. That's right. He was in Denver and he made me update him nightly on the goings on Love
What's
Island.
Going on?
Because he was catching up with the boys and he's like, Diane, I've got to have some chat. What have you got for me?
Don't look like a loser in the group, mate.
Yeah, I need to know what's going on.
Okay.
There.
Okay, so when's due date? When and are you finding out the sex of the child or?
Oh yeah, we're having a boy.
Oh, right. Wow.
Boom, it's out there.
A little footballer.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sammy, and you would have been pumped.
Oh mate, super pumped. I mean, didn't really care.
Yes.
But now we know it's a boy.
Yeah.
I kind of go, that's cool. Man.
That
I'm
is
cool. And he's due around my birthday.
Oh,
and
this is perfect.
I'm turning 30 this year, so.
When's
that?
We're booked in to give birth on Sam's 30th birthday.
Come on.
Look out.
No gifts from me. Here's your firstborn son, and I'm done.
Wow.
I'm happy with that.
That is great news.
That is great news. Congratulations, guys. Always a pleasure to get you in. We'll have get you in again leading up to the birth. We'll do it live on air, Tommy. Can we organise that? Why don't we do that?
Yeah, lock it in, Tom.
Let's do the birth. Live on air.
I don't think I'll be having hair ties on a meeting over then.
Sammy and Phoebe, thank you very much for coming in, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, team. 30 years, Home and Away, the tribute show last night. Anyone tune in for it? Loved it.
I did for a bit here and there.
Couldn't get enough of it. Just brought back so many memories, mate. I was sitting on the couch with my two sisters and my mum, and that was the routine in our place, and we'd settle in for a little bit of Home and Away. And Judy Nunn. What was her name again?
Elsa.
Elsa. Wasn't happy how she died. Learned that last night.
She's had a pretty good life, though.
She had a heart attack in the diner.
Well, that's a good way to go out.
But then didn't they have her ghost haunting the joint for a while?
No, Bobby was the ghost. Bobby came back and haunted her,
which was weird.
Wasn't
they did
Bobby
reference
out
that.
Of country practice?
No, Bobby was home and away. Bobby was sort of the first romance, her and Alex Papps.
Yeah.
Who's now Frank. Doing Frank? Yeah, he's doing play
school. Too many deaths. I mean, for any young family that are looking to find somewhere to, you know, set up shop, buy your first house, anyone who did any research on Summer Bay, you would know that a lot of people die.
Yep.
You would have chosen horrific deaths as well.
You would have chosen that over Mount Thomas, though, if you ever watched Blue Heelers.
That's
Mount Thomas was a very
there was a lot
place.
Of deaths there.
Yeah,
too.
Bobby, mate, she was in the speedboating accident. They hit a log, and Bobby flew out of the boat. Next thing you know, gone. Done,
she
dusted.
Was only
see, that happens sometimes in boats. That's why.
Well, when
dangerous.
A boat hits something, not everyone flies out. She was only little. She was only little. Shooting
off. Kate Ritchie went on the show as well. Well done to Kate.
Yeah, she did a great job last night as one of obviously the main key members of Home and Away and the history of Home and Away. It'd be her and Ray Maher. And you know what? It was great when she spoke from the heart, and Ray had a moment as well when they were talking about the scene where Sally says goodbye to Alf Stewart or Mr. Stewart on the beach. Mm-hmm. And Kate was saying how at the time it was really Kate Ritchie and Ray Maher. Anyway, she spoke further on it.
I can tell you wholeheartedly that those scenes on the beach with Sally and Mr. Stewart saying goodbye to each other were Kate and Ray.
Was it tough to see her go?
Yeah, look, it was. She'd been there for 20 years and was a huge part of the show.
He came up to the dressing room and he said that he's proud of me and that he values the fact that I'm not a little girl anymore and he has seen me grow and mature and that he is very happy to call me his friend.
Oh, she was getting emotional.
See,
it was really good.
Great.
Because it would have been. I mean, she was 8 when she started on the show.
Yeah, tiny.
Next thing I know, she's all grown up.
You work
Ray
for anyone in any industry for that long, you're going to get a bit teary when someone comes up and says that they're proud of you for making seats at Mitsubishi for 30 years. You know what I mean?
Imagine when we wrap things up and I've seen Tommy grow from a little boy to sort of a middle-aged woman.
Yeah,
and
it's been
such
I'm not a middle-aged woman.
I know.
Woman.
Such an emotional journey.
So emotional when we're pushing Tommy out the door with our feet. No, but the moment for me last night, and you forget... I mean, this is in Australia, and you know what? Yeah. We take the PIWS sometimes out of Home and Away, but how big it is in the UK. Mm. And the moment for me last night is that they're still doing tours. Where is the beach? Avalon Beach? Is it still?
Palmy.
Palm Beach. Out of Palmy there, and they've still got the Home and Away tours, and any UK tourists can go on those. So they showed one of the buses, and everyone's on there, and they're pumped to get out there. I think a couple of actors actually jumped on the bus at some stage. But then, you know, there was that moment where everyone looked at each other and thought, why don't we do this?
Just they've gone the long version too, haven't they?
What a great day out. What a great day out. You know what surprised me too? We were talking about Dita Brummer yesterday.
Oh, poor Dita.
Dita Brummer, great news. I mean, it's been 30 years. Dita Brummer's fashion hasn't changed. He was wearing sort of a short-sleeved Mambo shirt, which was great. You know, they extended on the cast and their families too. And they went round to Dita's mother's house, which was interesting. And have a listen to what she had at home.
While Dita has moved on from Home and Away, his mum, Dawn, has kept every fan letter.
How many letters?
I would say 20,000 would be a good estimate. All been read and all answered.
It's nice your mum's kept all this, isn't it? I mean...
Look, I mean...
It's slightly embarrassing, isn't it?
It is a little bit embarrassing. It takes up a bit of space, so feel free to take as...
That's sweet.
Mum had read every letter and replied.
Oh, that
good
is
on
so
her.
Nice.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Well,
Dita
that's
Brummer's...
her scrapbooking, isn't it, really, of Dita's career and his life.
Is he still living at home? Is that what we got from that?
I'm not sure.
No, I think he's out.
Okay. I reckon he got a couple of Logies, Dita Brummer.
He
was the best-looking rooster on TV.
Oh, Shane.
Oh, he was loved. Mm.
The ladies
loved him.
I don't
know, Toadie on Neighbours.
Oh, yeah.
Currently the hottest.
I want to talk about a dinner that we went to the other night, BJ and I, and there was a few families there. We got to meet a family who was there with their son. Now, their son's 20 years of age, Sarah, and we got chatting to this family, and their other son wasn't there because he's just turned 18 and he was out with the boys.
Okay, a couple of cans on a Friday night.
So we were, you know, finding out about each other's families, and halfway through the night, Sarah, we were having this dinner, and then all of a sudden the mother, she started getting a bit restless and she started whispering into her husband's ear. And I was looking at BJ, I'm going, something's going on here. There's a fair bit of trouble. Mm. Then she got up, she walked out, she came back in, whispered into his ear again. He started getting a little bit nervous, thinking, I said, are you okay? Is everything okay? Do you need to leave? She said, no. She said, our other son that I told you about, the 18-year-old, he was supposed to be at a party tonight in Paddington. We've just checked on Find My iPhone where his phone is, and he's actually down in Wollongong.
Jeez. Long way from Paddo.
Yeah, big commute.
Bit of a drive from
Five Ways. So he's told Mum and Dad that he was going with a couple of friends to Paddington to a house party, and they've checked his Find My iPhone. His phone is actually in Wollongong.
Oh, God.
So then the question was, do we ring him and say that we can't trust him, or do we wait for him to call us and say, Mum and Dad, I've decided to go down to Wollongong for a house party?
I reckon it depends if he knows his phone is being tracked. Do they say, hey, we'll keep an eye on you? Because if that conversation's happened, then there's nothing wrong with ringing and saying, mate, you said you're going to Paddington. It's now in Wollongong. Mm. Just checking no one's stolen your phone. Yeah, or did you leave it in a cab? You could give him the benefit of that.
Are you disappointed as an 18-year-old boy as well that your mum and dad are tracking you on their phones and seeing where you are?
Well, everybody told their parents they were going one place and went another growing up. That's just part
without
of it.
A doubt.
It's up there with crawling out of a window, isn't it?
Well, I was talking with one dad the other day who said he's been getting on his phone via the iCloud or whatever naughty photos that his son has been sending to his girlfriend.
I'd be furious.
And he goes, Do I say something and embarrass him or tell him that, you know, he should probably be a little bit more careful?
Yep.
Or do you just kind of put your hands up
and tell him about the calculator.
Rely on the trust.
The calculator app, you keep all your photos private in.
Because the find friend thing, it's a trust thing.
It is a trust
thing. I trust that I'm not going to do anything so you can follow me.
Because I agree with you, Whipper. I think you need to have trust for your kids and you've got to let them go and they've got to learn by their mistakes. So they're probably going to make a couple of mistakes. You're going to find out as parents that they're going to be lying to you. You'll be disappointed in them. But yeah, I think you need to do that at some stage of your life. But I would like to know, 13, 24, 10, to what point do parents actually track their kids now?
It depends on what was going on too. Like if they put in a phone call, g'day mate, I just saw on the iPhone you're in Wollongong, what's going on? And he says, oh, I turned up to Paddo, one of the guys organised a bus and we went down to Wollongong because there was a party.
That's right.
You know, there might be an explanation for it. You can't go into panic mode about my kid's lying to me.
And if there's any teenagers out there as well, I mean, do you know that your parents are tracking you or do you suspect it? We can change your name. Give us a call, 13 24 10 as well. I'd love to hear from you because, I mean, to what extent do we go here and where does the trust barrier
but
sort
if
of
you, if you
finish?
Were a parent and your kid's kind of 16, 18, I don't reckon you could help yourself but kind of have a look where they are.
I don't want
Isn't
to.
Isn't that the natural thing?
I wouldn't want to know where my kids are.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want to know where your boys are.
Nah, because
oh,
you know why? Kings I immediately cross. Think back to when I was 16 and 17 and what I was doing.
What were you doing?
No, well, I was telling Mum and Dad I was staying over at Simps's house.
Where were you?
And we were just gallivanting around town.
Yep, doing manies.
We were. We were just going from
down
sneaking into nightclubs.
Yep.
You don't want your parents to know that.
Would it affect what the original story was? Because obviously this guy said he was in Paddo, he's in Wollongong, but he's still out. But had he have said he was going around to visit his aunt and uncle, but was actually going out with his mates? Is that a bigger gap in the lie?
No, Wollongong's more of a stretcher, I reckon.
13, 24, 10, give us a call, we'll get you on. Julie in Menai, do you track your son's phone, Jules?
Yes, I do. He's 17 and a half, and he's well aware of it. I've got five my phone. On my phone, and it just saves me ringing him saying, did you get there safely? It's I don't necessarily like track it. And he has been at places, he was supposed to be at a safe place one time, and he was over at another place. And I rang and I said, oh, are you back at your whatever his name's place? And he said, yeah. And I said, no, you're not.
See, did he get upset? Is he upset that you're tracking him the whole time, Jules, or is he okay with it?
I don't actually bring it up with him that often. I just, if he's on his way home from somewhere, I just sort of track it and say, oh yeah, he'll be home in 5 minutes. He's driving, obviously. And it just gives me a little bit of comfort, really. And, you know, he doesn't make a big deal of it. He's a pretty good kid.
You know what? Kids love the technology these days, but it's got to be detrimental somehow, doesn't it?
I know.
I mean, it's got to work against you somehow. Kids would be hating this. Lockie from Ride, your parents track you. Is that correct, Lock?
Yeah, they as soon as I got my P's after a few tries, dad gave me the car, and then he's like, oh, there's a little few things of it. I'm like, all right, what's the deal? He's like, there's a tracker in the car. I'm like, all right, that's fine. And he's like, tough.
Yeah, and
like,
it's
bugged. Every time the car turns on, it instantly pings him going, the ignition has started, and every 10 seconds, it tells him my location and the speed I am going.
Oh, wow. You are kidding
me. Because he cares about you, Lockie, and he loves you, buddy.
So have there been moments while you've been driving, Lockie, where he's going, you're going too fast, or what are you doing in that area?
It's happened once or twice, and he's caught me on it. It's been quite funny. But I know he means well by it, and I love him for it.
That's full. Yeah. That's not a bad app.
No, get some boundaries, clever. Dad.
You come know on. How fast your kids are going in the car.
Wouldn't it be funny,
would
though?
Would you get that, Sarah?
No, not a chance.
I would download
you
that.
You set yourself over the edge with that sort
yeah,
of
you
stuff.
Would. You go mad. That you got to kind of trust a bit. You got to back it. Yeah.
Tony in Camden, your son actually tracks you, Tony.
Yes, he does.
So why does he track mum?
I don't know, because my daughter's 22 and my son's 20.
Yeah.
So my daughter can ring, and if I don't pick up the phone, she'll then ring her brother and go, do you know where mum is? And he'll be like, yeah, and they'll know where I am.
That is hilarious.
Have you been caught out anywhere, Tony, before that you shouldn't be?
I don't know, not unless they've had a conversation between themselves.
How funny. And then when you don't answer and they call the cafe and the waiter comes over with the telephone, then you know they're onto you.
Are you still with Dad, Tony, or are you with another man, or are you...
I'm divorced, but I'm with somebody else.
Right, okay. Oh, so they can track to see if you're over at his house or something, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, so if I say I'm going to one place, I've actually gone to somewhere else.
This is great.
Isn't it bad when they can see that the engine's on and you're at a lookout somewhere, Tony?
Exactly.
And you're making out. Naomi in Croydon, you track your daughter and get to... Well, what do you get to do? If she's at a party, what do you get her to do, Naomi?
I get her to Snapchat me just to make sure she's okay, she's not in a difficult situation.
It's not bad.
She's not overly intoxicated. She's just turned 18.
Yeah.
And I say to her all the time, it's not you, it's others that I don't trust.
Yep, exactly. So as soon as she gets to the party, she just does a little video. Hi, Mum, here with the girls. We're having a great time. And then you're right for the night, Naomi.
No. When she arrives, that's okay. It's kind of as the night wears on that I'm more interested to see what's going on. And I'm not interested in seeing footage of others. It's just about... her safety.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, do you know what would be? You know what would be fun? Like if you've got a parent, you know they're tracking you. Get onto Airtasker and see if someone will pick up your phone and take it to Dreamgirls.
That's not bad.
That's Dreamgirls. Then drop my.
Well, you just
phone.
Get someone Airtasker, or just leave your phone at the party. That you, if you have two phones, Sarah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Here we go.
Just leave your phone in the front yard of the house party that you're supposed to go to, and then bang, jump into the car with your friends.
See you later. Off to Wollongong. Do you know what's an interesting one? Is when some people enter a relationship and they get to a point where it becomes serious and then they have a conversation about marriage and one says, I'm not really into it.
Whoever says that?
Oh, a lot of people don't want to get married. A lot of people don't believe in it. They think it's just a certificate and what is the point? It's an expensive certificate. We've been together long enough. You might have a kid together as well. And therefore someone says, I just don't see the point.
Yeah, it is. Look, I would respect that decision if that's the way that they feel. It is a good feeling, though, when someone wants to take your name as the male when you're going into a relationship like this, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And also, best thing about weddings, I mean, if you can save up a bit of coin, it's a party with all of your favourite friends and family.
You just going to weddings. I just love it.
Yeah. I love sitting down, stand-up weddings, jokes. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'll just cut you off there. Tommy had a... stand-up wedding.
Did you really?
No, well, the second part was a cocktail. We eloped and then...
Wasn't a great event, though, was it?
It was lovely.
Well, I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, I did too.
The MC was a bit on the nose.
Who was that?
Whipper.
Oh, was that me? Yeah. I loved it. I meant to say it was fantastic. I mean, there was a seat in the corner.
You
I
were
sat
upset
for that.
That you couldn't sit down.
No, I wasn't
God,
upset.
God, you're lazy.
Yeah. That wasn't it. You know what? Tommy's,
it is fair, though.
This for like, it wasn't even a themed wedding. Tommy's wedding cake they cut with a giant sword.
Yes, they did.
It's unbelievable. Oh, it's like
it was a family tree.
What, Last Samurai?
It's not a person. It was an actual sword. And it's a family tradition to use the sword in the family.
It's more of a splatter.
It was, it was Uncle David. He added a few. And we said that.
Let's
is,
move on,
we
Ryan.
Do not
thank
want
you.
You. To do that to
thank
the cake.
Thank you.
I don't even have an Uncle David.
No, I won't have a piece, thanks.
Turns out I'm full. Thanks anyway, Dave. You keep going with that.
Continue with your story,
please. This is a beautiful outcome because this couple were together for 17 years and she wanted her day as a princess. She wanted her day where she got to walk down the aisle and he said, sorry, honey, I'm not interested. Anyway, then behind her back it was organised that she was going to turn up to a friend who was already married and they were going to renew the friend's wedding vows. So the friend had said, please turn up in a nice white dress. You're almost like my bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah.
She walks in. Yeah. She's wearing a nice white frock. All the others are underdressed in smart casual. And it's her wedding day and he's standing there in his suit. He's standing there in his suit. The music starts there. They've got the Beatles, Love,
That's
Love,
lovely.
Love going. And she realises that after 17 years, he's decided, because it meant so much to her, to surprise her, they got married.
Sarah, you're telling me, Sarah, yeah, if Gary did that to you and you couldn't put your makeup together, you couldn't get the dress that you wanted, that you would be over the moon that he has done a surprise wedding for you?
Do you know what? It is a big risk. And then if you thought, oh, my God, the photos, I'm in a dress that I didn't really feel great about.
Oh, come on.
The day was, yeah, but
soak it up. That would be the best, wouldn't it?
I still think it's lovely. It is lovely.
So do I.
I think it's a little bit sad that it took him 17 years. 17 years. And it feels a bit insincere now.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's doing it
out.
To shut her up.
God, Cam's giving us a call from Roselle. Now, your brother got married in secret. So what happened there, Cam?
He got married for a visa reason in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And mum, being the marriage guidance counsellor, didn't know. So that, coupled with myself and my partner not wanting to get married, it created a lovely environment.
So your mum, is this true? Your mum hasn't attended her son's weddings, none of them?
Well, mum still doesn't know about the fact that my brother got married the first time.
Oh, dear.
He's been married twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she never knew about the first one. So,
just awesome.
And I only found out by accident when someone rang me and said, oh, you know your brother's wife, and I said, sorry, what?
Oh, wow.
Never heard of
it. So, Cam, is it your decision not to get married as well, or is it your partner's decision?
No, that's both of ours. We're not really bothered, to be fair. We've been together for 13 years. We've got two kids. We've got a house. We've got a dog, blah, 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 blah.
Fair enough.
So, you know, we're pretty stoked, and we like what you guys were saying. An expensive piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah, it's whatever works for you, isn't it?
And mum's a marriage counsellor.
Oh.
Oh, man, she'd be shattered.
It's a tough day with the boys. Thanks for your call, Cam.
Advertising, you know, when people are trying to suck us in, I suppose, with an ad, Sarah, jingles are always good.
Yep.
Get stuck in your mind.
Catchy.
Catchphrases are always good as well.
Yeah.
I mean, something that you can just drill into a person that can be quite annoying, but they always remember. I remember one growing up that we had in our local town that was Metropolitan Plumbing. So they would just have the sound of a drip.
Yep.
Which was quite annoying.
Mm.
So it would drip, Metropolitan Plumbing. Drip, Metropolitan Plumbing. Drip. So then every time you would hear a drip in your house, you would instantly think of Metropolitan Plumbing.
Clever. I always think of the, did you guys have the kid doing the lube-mobiles? Lube-mobile.
Come to you. Your mobile mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, there was, do you remember was it called My Little Pony?
Yeah.
Yeah, My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony. I love My Little Pony. She takes me everywhere or something like
How
that.
How do you remember that one, mate?
Because the other day, I found myself singing it to Ted. And I was going, because he was saying, I love you. I love you, Daddy. And I was saying, My Little Teddy. I love my little Teddy. And I went, oh, my God, that's a My Little Pony song. How is that still in your
You're
head?
You're stealing it, yeah. Toyota's got a new one out. It's the RAV4. They're trying to get this girl to start the catchphrase. This is what it is, sir.
You got great value on your new RAV4.
I'm feeling it. Still feeling it. Still feeling it.
You still feeling it?
I'm still feeling it.
I'm still feeling it.
Toyota value just keeps on giving.
So I'm still feeling it.
Still feeling it.
I like it. It's kind of like JT's, you know, the do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. I'm loving it.
McDonald's.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm still feeling it.
Still feeling it.
The unfortunate thing was is that Gil was on the television later that night, but for all the wrong reasons.
38-year-old Jennifer was on her way home from dinner with her mother and a friend.
I'm feeling it.
She seems like she's under an enormous amount of pressure. She shouldn't be because she's only claimed to have one drink.
Still feeling it.
So you've gone over the limits?
Still feeling it. feeling it.
You're under arrest for the purpose of a breath analysis?
I'm still feeling it.
Ma'am, you're under arrest. You've got to go back to with this lady. I'll take care of the car, okay?
So the RAV4 was taken, and unfortunately she was still feeling still it after feeling one drink.
Talking about the Twitter bot cull that happened the other day, mate. You went into shock after writing one thing about your favourite footy team. Next thing you know, 5,000 people had wiped off. They'd unfollowed you, and you thought that people had taken offence to what you'd said.
I thought my own supporters, my own people that follow the same footy club that we've loved all our lives had lost. 5,000 had stopped following me the next day, Sarah, and found out it was the Twitter bot cull.
Yeah, Katy Perry lost 2.8 million followers because it was just robotic rubbish that had been made up. They weren't really people, guys. When people do drop off, though, isn't it strange? You're trying to get your numbers up and you're plugging away, guys, and you're chasing followers and a few shares, and then you see people and they drop off and your numbers go down, and you go, man, what happened? Was my holiday that bad for everyone?
You'd love a reason, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
What was the tweet or what was the Instagram post that really peeved you off?
They've got here, there's a list of the top 10 things that you get unfollowed for. And 13, 24, 10, who did you stop unfollowing and why?
And Sarah is someone who can speak to this personally, having unfollowed me and had to shamelessly crawl back and refollow.
That is the biggest kick in the pants. Because you got really upset about it and started talking to other staff members saying, I can't believe she genuinely did that. You put up a picture of yourself in a marble bathtub just in a robe.
And that was the unfollow.
It was one inch too far.
Do you know what?
It wasn't the jet ski shot, was it?
No. That was Tinder. That one got her in.
If I go through the list there, the number one reason for why people unfollow is your account is too self-promotional.
That is
the number one. How are your numbers going? Because you're out nearly every night, and there's sort of a standard Insta story that you do. You'll zoom in on one thing, you'll zoom in on the next, you'll pan the room and zoom in again, and then that's it till the next one.
Red carpet. Avengers film.
Yeah, Avengers film. Red carpet.
Mark Ruffalo.
Who am I with?
This is turning too quickly.
Maddie, with you, you have a lot of pictures that where you're sort of candid. Who is your photographer?
Yeah.
Because Bronte's usually with you.
Whatever poor bugger's nearby.
And that shot there of you laughing is always the best. So it's in three.
This is amazing. This is an amazing set of glass houses that you're all coming at me from.
Hang on a minute. Because number two, Sarah, while we're on the topic of why people unfollow, is because you become too narcissistic. Now, the shot yesterday.
Things
when you're
that I'm doing get off that it. You're not that I wish you were.
I hate this so much. Like going on the morning show when that shot yesterday of you just sort of laughing in the chair.
Yeah.
In the cocktail outfit.
What is honestly wrong with that?
Nothing at all. You look like having a fantastic time.
Serving drinks at a function.
Compare that to the weekend offering from M. Whipfley of his car with the caption, at Alto Land Rover.
Do you know what?
I'm like, you didn't even try to hide it.
Don't need to, mate, because a picture says 1,000 words, and sometimes you don't need a lengthy blurb,
and a credit
mate.
Gets you thousands of dollars off.
But don't put facts in the story, Sarah.
That is a fair call. You didn't even try with that one, mate.
I wasn't trying. I'm not trying to hide absolutely anything. There's a commercial agreement there. What?
Unfollow.
I've got no issue with it whatsoever. What about this? An account goes off topic. So you just start plugging stuff that doesn't make sense. Another one, if you pick too many fights.
Oh, yeah.
If your page becomes too political, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, you just start going on raves and rants about
renovations and babies on there as well?
No, renos and babies aren't on there. Because, racism.
You know, it is a funny one. When you have a child, that's the thing, because, you know, people do follow you because you may, you know, maybe that stage in your life where you're a bit crazy and you're funny.
Yep.
As soon as you have a child, you're just putting up kids all the time. You lose a lot of those followers.
Because there's nothing else going on in your life. The other one, too, it's just hashtag abuse. It's another reason to unfollow.
Yeah, you are a stickler for this one, Maddie DeGroote.
What do you mean?
You love a good hashtag. Like
hashtag heavy.
Hashtag shot.
Well,
hashtag wedding. Hashtag party.
Well,
hashtag
no,
fun.
I've since
hashtag blessed.
I've never
hashtag
ever
unfollowed.
Hashtag blessed. I've since learned that the algorithm has changed. And if you have more than three hashtags, it'll shuffle your picture down.
Oh.
So any more than three hashtags, guys, and
you
hurt yourselves.
Should we do a weekly check-in with you to see the algorithms of Instagram?
Is that fair, Dinkum?
100%, yeah.
Wow.
How'd
you find that out?
So it's just those in the know-know, all right? Those in the
what
know-know.
About, so that's why Nova, we were never more than two ads in a row. We're never more than three hashtags in a row now.
You've got a subscriber, that Renee in Crow's Nest. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Who'd you unfollow and why, Renee?
Fitzy, a couple of months ago, unfollowed you.
Oh, no! What was the post, Renee? What did I do wrong?
You and your bloody kids. Not sorry, I shouldn't say bloody, but your kids and the posts about your kids, like, kids are in their undies. Kids are at Little Athletic. Kids are doing this. Kids are having a milkshake.
Oh, awesome. I think that's a bit tough.
Awesome. No, that's perfect.
See, they've become sort of stars themselves because Loose Lenny has just turned into this character himself where I thought people did like him, but they are. They never wear clothes. They're getting crook at the moment because they're walking around the house freezing because they refuse to put clothes
on. My favourite's still the video where they're trying to run from one side of the living room to launch to climb up the wall. And you're just filming them, not stopping them as they're putting feet all over your wall.
Renee, would you follow Fitzy back? I mean, what do you want to see him post? Is there any way we can get you back?
Well, look, Fitzy, if they're stars in their own right, I really think they should have their own Insta pages.
Oh, that's a big call.
It is true to say that of the group, of the four of you that have kids, Sarah is the only one that hasn't fallen into the trap of just making it exclusively kid content. And well done to you. Nice. Tom does it. Whip it. Absolute fan.
Sarah's Instagram account, if you go on there...
Mine's a bit lazy. I don't post very often. Yeah,
I think it's more laziness.
I'm not very good at social media.
You go through stages, though, where you go, oh, that's interesting, I'll get involved, and then you go, no, I can't be bothered.
After work today, I'm going to try to get Renee back.
Good luck. Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.